My name is Jeremy Bullington. Today I'm going to talk to you about the introduction or the impact of glyphosate-resistant weeds in Arkansas cotton production. I know lots of you sitting here is going, well, we've already heard this from every other state, so we're just going to tell you what we think about it. Start out with a quick introduction. In 1956, the idea of herbicide resistance was brought up and published. Everybody kind of thought, nah, that's an insect problem, that's a disease problem. Doesn't happen in plants. Lo and behold, 1968, common ground soil was documented as resistant to PSU inhibitors. As of 2008, 67 different species are now resistant to those PS2 inhibitors, nine of which are amaranthus species. Since 1996, Roundup Ready crops have completely dominated the market. Take a quick look at these pie charts, you can see about 96% of the cotton, 98% of the soybeans, and probably more than 75% of the corn in Arkansas is grown in a Roundup Ready system. So basically, even though we're doing our crop rotation, like what we tell our producers to do, they're just rotating to another Roundup Ready crop. And what does that lead to? Well, our first glyphosate resistant weed was horseweed. It was first documented in about four counties in the northeastern part of the state in 2003. The next year, that size almost doubled. The year after that, it almost entailed all of the cotton producing areas in the entire state. So basically now, if we have somebody call and say, I've got glyphosate resistant horseweed, or I have horseweed out here, is it resistant? Most of the time the answer is yes. We've had a pretty good program getting our producers to try to control it. A lot of them are adopting the principles that we put out there. And so we're hoping that we can do the same thing with Palmer amaranth. In 2006, we had nine counties that were confirmed to be resistant. In 2007, that number almost doubled. In 2008, like some of the previous presenters have said, we can basically predict that most of the cotton producing counties in our state will have some level of glyphosate resistance. Talking about resistance in Arkansas in general, Arkansas first reported in 1989 with goosegrass. Now, all the way down to 2007, you can see our latest one is Johnson grass. But if you'll notice something about this chart, the last five that we've got documented as resistant, starting in 2003 with horseweed, all the way to the bottom are all resistant to glycines. We have horseweed, common ragweed, giant ragweed, Palmer amaranth, and Johnson grass. That seems like a trend to me. What could be our next resistance issues? Barnyard grass, ryegrass, could it be anything else? I know that's something we can't necessarily predict. It's just kind of what we see out on the horizon. So let's move on. What impacts is actually having on our producers? What are they having to do different? Well, they're going to have to change some of their farming practices. Going to have to rethink some of the ideas of conservation tillage. You know, we can still have it. Just what do we need to do different? It's having a significant impact on our herbicide cost, and it's forcing many of our producers to change the way they view technology. First off, we'll start out on the impact of farming practices. Between 1997 and 2002, this is based on ag statistics information, the average crop size in Arkansas decreased in every category in farms less than 2,000 acres, but they increased in farms greater than 2,000 acres. What that means is that the big farms are getting bigger. They're able to do more, farm more acres, use less people, minimize the resource use, and Roundup Ready technology has allowed them to do that. Next, we'll move in the impact of conservation tillage. As one of our previous speakers said, conservation tillage is kind of adopted in the Roundup Ready system because you're allowed to do that. You can make less trips across the field, you can save time, you can save money. And the conservation tillage is a great thing. We can, it's for the longest time, it's been the best thing to do. But lots of times the tillage is gonna actually control a lot of these weeds. Some of our early weeds, you can go out there, we can disc them up. Some of the research now is also showing those pigweed seeds that were on the top, we turn them, we're also not going to have as much of a problem there. So it's going to be helping us on both sides. And some of these tillage practices are becoming more normal in the fall and in the spring. But how many farmers have this too? You know, you need about 22 ounces of Roundup over that just to get to this piece of equipment. And this is not something that they're real excited about doing. And what most farmers say that we can't go back to 100% cultivation. Most farmers will tell you that, you know, one tractor spray and take care of about 1,000 acres if he's spraying. That same tractor can only take care of about 250 acres if he's forced to cultivate. You know, so that's telling me that, okay, we need to quadruple the amount of tractors that we have out there if we're just going to go back to 100% cultivation. And I don't know if there's any cotton farmer in the nation that thinks he can do that right now. Doesn't have the labor, doesn't have the equipment, doesn't have the manpower necessary to do that. What kind of impacts are we going to have on herbicides? Well, as in the past, herbicide costs usually don't account for just a huge part of what a farmer's budget normally is, because he's been able to just do the same program year in, year out. Well, now, once he's developed resistant weeds, he's not going to be able to do that. He's going to have to take weed management seriously, and it's something he's going to have to plan for. And we also got to kind of think about that Roundup Ready Flex cotton is not going to have the same value as Roundup did when it was first released. When Roundup Ready was released, we could put it out there. It was cheap to spray. We paid the tech fee. Everything worked great. Killed everything. Okay. Now we're at the point where Roundup still works good on lots of weeds, but the ones that are resistant, we're not going to do anything to them, so we're forced to use another herbicide with them. So it's not really going to have the same return on investment as we used to expect with Roundup Ready when it first existed. So this is all kind of doom and gloom. What is it that we can do? Well, there's still herbicide programs that work. It's just it's going to cost a little more. It's going to be something we're going to have to watch a little harder. This first slide shows the Roundup Ready Flex system. We're looking at Palmer amaranth control pre-harvest. The first treatment there, that's Prowl plus Cotteran pre, followed by Roundup Parlay, followed by Roundup Valor. It's a $63 herbicide treatment. It's providing about 95-97% control. Right next to it's the same program, but we put Valor out, or Direx out at lay-by. Saved us about $3. We're still at a $60 program. You can slide over there to the end, though, and you'll see, well, we've got a $40 program here. Why can't we do that? Well, we're looking at about 70% control, and we've already showed that, you know, even 95% control is probably a little questionable on it. So, you know, you might be saving some money, but in the long run, you're probably not going to accomplish a whole lot. And like the picture shows, there's programs that still work. We want everybody to still know that we can still grow cotton. We can still grow Roundup Ready cotton. Now, if you went to a Liberty Link system, you know, that's going to be kind of a preventative treatment. That's going to be a curative treatment if you've got glyphosate-resistant weeds out there. The first one there is, that's Cotteran pre, followed by Ignite, followed by Ignite, followed by Ignite plus Valor to lay by. It's a $47 treatment. It's 100% control. Look across there, we've added another application of Dual in the second one. But you look over here to the very last application, and we've got Ignite Early Post, Ignite Post, Ignite Post, and then Valor to lay by. It's a $38 treatment. It's giving you really good control. It's cheap. It works. But in general, that's not what we want you to do. We want you to get your residuals out there early. You know, spend that little bit of extra money that you got with that first treatment. That way you've got residuals out early and residuals going out late. Again, same kind of picture. We still get good control, just have to manage it a little different. Now we're going to look at a little bit of modeling data. I think Dr. Norsworth is going to present some of the same kind of data later. This was actually developed with Dr. Paul Neve, Dr. Jason Norsworthy, and Dr. Ken Smith. You look at this chart over here on the right-hand side. This is a 100% glyphosate program. Herbicide cost of $48. What this graph is showing is the probability to develop resistance and the timeline that it takes to get there. Quickly, what that's showing, that we're a 70% chance of developing resistance in a 5 to 6 year time frame using just glyphosate. Roundup Ready cotton came out in 96. We first developed resistant in Arkansas in 2003, so we're already kind of beating the system a little bit. You look at the same thing, said, well, I'm going to be a little bit better. I'm going to put a residual in there. We put that residual out at lay-by at total herbicide cost of $57. The graph looks just about the same. May have extended it a couple of years, may have reduced the probability a little bit, probably not significantly. But if you look at this chart, we've got a residual out early, pre-plant, followed by our same glyphosate program we've always been using at a herbicide cost of $51. We've halved our probability to resistance and extended that time probably out to about 8 years. Now, the increase in herbicide cost here is about $3.70. So where do you want to put your money? You want to put it at the end of the year when you've already got weeds up, or would you rather spend a little bit less, put it out up front, get those weeds controlled? You know that if it's controlled up front, you're also going to reduce your competition. Well, the old adage is an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. Well, what this chart shows is, yes, it does. Using our traditional glyphosate program, our total cost is $729 an acre. And we predict, according to the model, 5 to 6 years, you're going to be going into a curative program at a cost of $766 per acre. Had we went with the prevention program at $741 through the whole life cycle here, we're going to end up saving money in the long run. We've also got the Liberty Link program showing up here. Right now, it's a little bit more expensive. The prices are still kind of fluid. But we would predict that in the long run, the Liberty Link system is going to be a curative and a prevention program, because this program actually also has early residuals, late residuals incorporated with the Ignite. So those herbicide options we've talked about, you got to get out there early, pre-plant, a pre and early post, using Valor, Reflex, Cotoran, Caprol, Dual. The also thing you need to do is remember, we need to rotate our chemistries. You don't want all PPOs 1 year. You know, you don't want Reflex early, come back with Valor, because you're shooting yourself in the foot doing the same thing we did with glyphosate over and over again. The other thing we need to remember is a lot of these chemistries are not new. A lot of these chemistries come out a pretty good time ago, and we're putting pressure on them that they probably were not designed for when they came out. In conclusion, what we're going to look at is the impact on technology. We've previously been able to just switch chemistries when we had a resistance problem. Well, that's not an option anymore. Most of the companies have now shifted their focus from developing new chemistries to developing new technologies, new genes, different ways to control those weeds other than just the herbicides. This chart shows the chemistries and how they've been released. Kind of started in 1946 with when 2,4-D was released. Through 56 all the way to 95, we've had hundreds of new chemistries released. But you can see since 1996, which is that magic number, we've had less than 20 new chemistries released. So that just switching chemistries to take care of it is not something that we're going to be able to do this time. New technologies are on the horizon. There's a dichemistat gene, there's a glycol gene. Both of those are going to allow us some more availability, some more options to control these glyphosate resistant weeds. The timeline's there. Some of those companies have ideas when they're going to be out there. We're kind of still waiting on all the numbers for them and what everything is going to look like. In conclusion, the impacts in general are significantly negative. There's going to be increased cost, increased labor, increased management. You're going to have to pay the technology fee again. And there's going to be a decrease in conservation tillage just because we're going to try to control those weeds, not just using herbicides. Again, the cost of resistance prevention is $3 to $12 an acre. But the price, after you already have it, is about $37 an acre. And that's just kind of a take-home number to think about. Our agricultural production systems are built around individual operators just using glyphosate 100% of the time, all the time. But it's not something we need to continue to do, and I think everybody knows that. Options are still available. There's things we can do. It's just going to involve a little more labor, a little more thinking. But if cotton prices do not increase to cover the cost of the increased inputs, cotton acres will continue to decrease in the same program that we've seen in the past. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.